I'm Pastor Lauer from our Saviors Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 9:02 and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Saviors is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a service on Saturday evening at 6. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
Today's broadcast is sponsored by the Hanson and Lindsay families in loving memory of Dorothy Anderson.
Here's a thought I'd like to share with you. Wouldst have a friend, wouldst know what friend is best? Have God thy friend, who passeth all the rest.
I love to tell the story. And his love, I love to tell the story, because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing, as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, for hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it seems of glory, I sing a new song. 'Twill be the old, old story that
back up this morning before we move ahead. You may remember from your Sunday school days that God had given a son to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. Certainly, Isaac was a miracle child, and for this miracle, Abraham was grateful to his God. For many promises which God had made rested upon Abraham's son and the generations which would come after him. But one day, God spoke to Abraham and asked him to take his son, his only son, this miracle child upon whom so many promises were dependent, and ask him to sacrifice Isaac on a distant mountain. For 2 days they traveled, and on the third day they reached the place. Can you imagine what must have been going through Abraham's mind as he traveled to the place of sacrifice? Certainly, God can expect him to sacrifice his son. Certainly, there must be some other way to pay for Abraham's sins, to set Abraham right with God. Had God given Isaac only so that Abraham could sacrifice him? By plunging the knife into his son's chest, would Abraham be freeing himself from the burden of his sins? Is that what God is asking him to do? To free himself from his debt of sin by taking the life of his son? What a horrible thing to ask a man to do. Ask yourself, would you be willing to pay the price of sacrificing your child to be free of the burden of your sins? Would you be willing to give up your home or your property to rid yourself of some terrible sin? Would you be willing to give up your job and your income in order to set things right with God? Would you be willing to give up your family and your friends if it would release you from your own damnation? Would you be willing to cut off your hand or pluck out your eye in order to keep from sinning? Would you be willing to sacrifice your child, your only child, your beloved child, in whom you've placed all your hopes and your dreams, and to whom you have given all your love and attention? This is what God had asked Abraham to do, to go to Mount Moriah and there to sacrifice his own dear son as an offering to pay for sins. God had asked Abraham to give something which was much more valuable than his own life. God had asked Abraham to give the most valuable thing he had, his beloved son. Isaac is starting to wonder about this too. The wood is here, the fire is here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He asks. And then Abraham says something which is perhaps more prophetic than he even knew. He told his son Isaac, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. What incredible prophetic words those were. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Perhaps none of this made any sense to Abraham, but his faith still trusted in God's grace and his mercy. Whatever would happen, God would provide. Perhaps Abraham didn't even know how profound his statement had been, for in the original language of Hebrew which Abraham spoke, those words can be translated in the usual way that God himself would provide, meaning that whatever it is that God asks of us, he also will provide for us. Or those words can also be translated that God would give himself as the sacrifice. It can go either way. Abraham said, God himself will provide the sacrifice. But those very same words could mean that God would give himself to be the sacrifice. And what is truly amazing to us today is that both those translations have come true. First, God provided a ram as a substitute sacrifice to take Isaac's place that day. But even more importantly, we know that God has given his own son to take our place, to be our substitute in paying the price for sins. Whichever way it's translated, in the simple way or in the more complex way, in that statement of faith, Abraham and Isaac both learned what it is to have a God. For you will find your God wherever you place your trust. When things don't make any sense, when nothing seems to be going as it should, when you are the most hopeless and helpless and most in need, when no one else can help you, the place where you put your trust, that is, in yourself, in another person, in some form of escape or denial, wherever you put your trust is where you will find your God. The God of Abraham was worthy of his trust. Just as Abraham was about to plunge the knife, an angel commanded him to stop, and a ram was provided as a replacement sacrifice, a male sheep, a ram, to be Isaac's substitute. Abraham was spared the ordeal of sacrificing his child, his only child, his beloved child, in whom so many hopes and dreams rested. Instead, Abraham's own words would be fulfilled in an even greater way. Yes, God himself had provided the lamb for the burnt offering and the ram which was caught by its horns, but it wouldn't be until John the Baptist that Isaiah would get the real answer to his question. Father, where is the sacrifice for the offering? 2 weeks ago, we learned that it was the wise men from the east who identified Jesus as the one who had been promised to be born the King of the Jews. Last week, at the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan River, we heard the voice of God himself declare, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And now today, John the Baptist quite literally points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Jesus, God himself was providing the true Lamb of God for the sacrifice by replacing Isaac, the son of Abraham, with Jesus, the Son of God. As Isaac was to Abraham, Jesus is God's only Son, God's own beloved Son, who lived and reigned with him in eternity. God himself would do the very same horrible and unspeakable thing that he had asked Abraham to do. He would provide what was most valuable to him as the price for our salvation. In the place of Abraham's son, God would give his own son, his only son whom he loved. And not only for Abraham and his one child, but for all the children of Abraham, that is, for all who share in Abraham's faith. The number of connections between Isaac, the son of Abraham, and Jesus, the Son of God, are more than coincidental. Abraham was willing to give up his son out of love for God. In response, God returned Isaac to him unharmed, and the two of them returned home joyfully. In the very same way, Jesus was willing to give up his life out of love for you. And in response to this great love of our Lord, we know that his life was returned to him on the third day. On Easter Day, he rose again from the dead and then ascended once again into heaven to be home again with the Father and to prepare a place for us there with him. Both Abraham and Jesus had been willing to give everything they had out of love for another. In both cases, they not only showed their love, but also gained back what they had been willing to lose. Abraham was willing to offer his son out of love for God, and not only received him back, but became the father of many nations. Jesus offered his own life out of love for us, and gained not only saints for the Father's kingdom, but he was raised to a new and glorious life, and given the name that is above every name, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is what true love means. It means being willing to pay the price for the ones you love. True love means not asking others to do what you yourself would not do. True love means being willing to give everything you've got for the ones you love. And this is why we say that God is love. This is the way that your God loves you. He was willing to give everything he had for you. He was even willing to give his own son, his beloved son, so that you might one day be with him in eternity. And this is the true love which Jesus also has for you. He was willing to give up his own life, and did, so that he might have you with him forever in the Father's kingdom. What would you pay to be freed from sin and guilt and the curse of damnation? You don't have to pay a single penny. God himself has provided the perfect price for your redemption by giving you his own son to bear your sin and be your savior. This is the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, which is free, absolutely without any cost, to all who will put their faith and trust in him. As John the Baptist once pointed to Jesus and said, "Look, there he is. He's the one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." So it is my divine privilege and honor to declare to you that Christ, the Lamb of God, is here with us today in his very own flesh and blood, just as he himself has said, "This is my body, and this is my blood." It is the blood of God himself who has become the sacrificial lamb for us. At the Lord's table, God himself is providing you with the perfect sacrifice, marking you with the blood of the Lamb, covering you with his perfect love. Here we receive God's own answer to Isaac's question. God himself has given his son, his only son whom he loves, as the perfect sacrifice for you. And really, that's what all of this is about. To Christ, who takes away the sin of the world, amen.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.